And so as we look at the idea of politics, if you go to that next slide, there are three mountains. You know, I really prayed and meditated on this thing because I really want God's people to understand God's heart. So again, I'm not here this morning. I'm not going to promote any political party. I'm not going to promote any candidate. I'm going to promote what the scripture says. And my prayer that as you sit there, that you hear the heart of God and what God is saying.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of How Should I View Political Candidates? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How Should I View Political Candidates?
We're going to continue with our series today in the book of Proverbs, and today we're going to be dealing with politics. I know when I preached on money, I was looking for some bodyguards, but surely you may need something today. You know, in some churches, they have what they call armor bearers, right? Bethany don't have armor bearers. I need me an armor bearer. Brother Scott, you going to be my armor bearer this morning? All right. Also, I wanted to say that we have available this little booklet that was put together, Politics in the Bible. And I was at the gym a couple days ago, and there was a guy who was saying he was having some problems in his church, that, you know, that there was people in his church that they said if you don't vote for one candidate, they said that the candidate was anointed and that that's God's choice. And so this brother was struggling. And so I saw him and I gave him this booklet. And he texted me and said, man, I need about 20 of them. So, you know, you can pick these up after church today. They are $3 in the Bethany bookstore. If you just celebrated a birthday, they're $2.99. All right. We've been dealing with burning questions in the hearts of God's people. And we started off by asking the question, how can I find contentment in this life? And then we dealt with, how do I handle my problems? The third message was, how can I be financially secure? And then last week, we talked about, how do I build and maintain healthy relationships? So today, we come to the question, how should I view political candidates? And again, we are in the book of Proverbs. In the middle there, we have a lamb. Because I'm promoting a new political party. And my political party that I'm supporting is actually not a new one, but I've just adopted the symbol because, you know, as Christians, we should not raise the elephant or the donkey above the lamb. You know, we are Christians first and foremost. So we need to understand that God has his own political party. And that's one of the things that we talk about in this little booklet right here. And I would say this, that as you read this booklet, because some of you may purchase it with the intent in mind that it's going to tell you who to vote for. Well, it's not going to do that. But it'll do two things. The first thing that it will do is that it will deal with your attitude during this election season. It will deal with your attitude. It will give you the right mindset and the right attitude. And then secondly, it will help you to have a process that instead of just voting for somebody blindly, that your vote will be an intelligent vote. So even if you struggle at the last minute to vote and who to vote for, have some kind of process. Have at least thought through the process as you make your decision. So that's two things that this little booklet here will help you to do.
Was a little concerned as I saw this put out by the Washington Post, and this is asking people as of late, you know, what are some of the things that stress you out? And clearly, head and shoulders above other things, such as family schedules, running errands, car problems, household repairs, losing important things, using social media, following sports, that clearly head and shoulders above everything was hearing about the government and politics. Boy, that's stressing people out. Can you believe that? And so maybe you're here today and you have been stressed out by all the things that you've been hearing. And God never intended for this to stress his people out, especially as we focus on him and we line our priorities up by being in the Word of God. And so as we are in the Word of God, that God gives us a calm and he gives us a peace, but when we are not in the Word and we allow ourselves to focus on these things going on around us, we become fearful and we become fretful. And so this is very troubling right here, that a lot of people are stressed out about this. And so my prayer this morning is that as you listen to the message, that if you are stressed out, that your stress might be relieved and reduced. And so as we look at the idea of politics, if you go to that next slide, there are three mountains. You know, I really prayed and meditated on this thing because I really want God's people to understand God's heart. So again, I'm not here this morning. I'm not going to promote any political party. I'm not going to promote any candidate. I'm going to promote what the scripture says. And my prayer that as you sit there, that you hear the heart of God and what God is saying. And so as Christians, there are three mountains that we need to consider as far as politics are concerned. The first one is the fact that God controls the king's heart. If you'll look at your notes, we see that God has ultimate authority over the heart of the king. Proverbs 21 and verse 1, it says, the king's heart is like a channel in the of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. And we see that God controls the heart of the king. Now, I'll say this, if you go to that next slide. Much more, a king who is godly, a king who is righteous, a king who is focused on doing the will of God, that you know, God can work through that individual and do great and mighty things. But I'm going to show you here in a second that even the ungodly king, even the person that you don't vote for, and they get into office, that God is still in control. And that's the one thing that we don't need to lose sight of, is that no matter who's in the White House, God is still in the big house. And so we need to realize that God is in control. And just like that river, the scripture says that he turns it wherever he wants. And so when we talk about this idea of God being in control, even of the godly, ungodly kings, look in the notes. It says that God directs the hearts of even ungodly kings. Pharaoh, just go back. We all learned that lesson in Sunday school. He controlled Pharaoh's heart. Now, he had to do some things to work outside of Pharaoh, but he eventually got Pharaoh to comply to do what God wanted. Cyrus, Artaxerxes, but I want to look at one today as we think about this river, that God controls the heart of the king. You need to let that get in your spirit. You need to let that get down inside of you because, again, it don't matter who's there, God is still in control. You know, people often ask me, how you doing today? And I'll say, I'm doing all right as long as God is on the throne. You know what? And you know, the fact of the matter is that there's never going to be a time when he's not on the throne. So I'm gonna always be doing all right. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4 in verse 28. So Nebuchadnezzar had this vision, and he didn't know what it meant, so he went to Daniel. Daniel interpreted it for him. But we pick up the story in verse 28. And all this came upon the president. All this came upon the president, Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spoke and said, "Is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by my might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know," oh, hallelujah, "until you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he giveth it to whomsoever he wills." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and he did eat grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws. So, you know, if you go back and read secular history, there's a time that they record that Nebuchadnezzar, for about 7 years, he was absent. He wasn't on the throne. And they didn't know what happened to him. Well, praise God, Daniel tells you what happened to him. He was out in the field eating grass. You know, I remember I preached a sermon one time from this. Have you had your grass-eating experience? You know, the guy, you know, took on these animal-like qualities, and he was in the field for 7 years. God controls the heart of the king. And God raises up one, and he sets down another one. And then look at verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me. He had one of them Looney Tunes slaps. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him who liveth, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none, and I repeat none, and I'll say it for a third time, none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? See, can you go back to that first mountain, Brother Chuck? We need to understand this. In this, any time, politics or any other time, we need to understand this. And if we miss this, then we can get caught up in this whole political swamp and mess. The first thing that should come to our mind as Christians, the first thing that should come to our mind as a child of God, is the fact that God controls the heart of the king. If God doesn't control the heart of the king, then he's not God. The kids sing the song. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He got the little bitty baby, and he got the president of the United States in his hand. And so we need to understand, because see what happened, you know, the last time when President Obama got in, Man, there were some folk, they was ready to commit suicide. I mean, they thought the world was coming to an end because he got in. Well, whether you agree with him or not, his heart is in the hand of God. And as Christians, we need to have two things, whether our person gets in or not. There ought to be two things we do. The first thing we ought to do is pray. Now, let me, you know, we might be here for a minute. Steelers don't play till 4 o'clock this afternoon. look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So he could have left it right at that. But he gets specific now. He says, especially for kings, for presidents, and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. So regardless of who's in there, if your person got in or they didn't get in, as a child of God, one thing that you are mandated to do is to pray for whoever's in there. And I would say not only to pray, but now this is where some of y'all are going to struggle at. The second thing that you got to do is you got to love whoever's in there. You got to love them. And see, this is where our faith meets the road, because it's easy to love our person when they get in, but it's another thing to love that individual. And Jesus said what? That we got to do what for our enemies? Pray for them and what? And love them. So, you know, we need to check our heart. I was reading something from a book by Gordon MacDonald, and he said, hate the politics, but not the person. Oh, that was kind of weak. Hate the politics, not the person. In his book, The Life God Blesses, Gordon MacDonald describes his encounter with a black South African, a high-ranking member of the National African Congress. He was profoundly impressed by the man's understanding of African history and politics and his insight into the challenges facing his nation. So he asked, where did you get your training? He expected to hear some famous university, and he was amazed when the reply came, I was trained on Robben Island. This was the notorious offshore prison where the apartheid regime was sent its most troublesome opponents. The guy went on to say, every few years, the government would search out and jail all the young black leaders. They would sweep them out of sight and eventually dump them on Robben Island. But for us, it was a profitable strategy because that was where we got our education from Mandela and others. You see, all of us who came to Robben Island came straight from school. We were angry. We were ready to kill the white man and any man. In prison, we lost our names. We were only numbers to the guards, and they kept their guns pointed at us all the time. Each morning, we would march to a rock quarry, and in the evening, we marched back. All the days belonged to the guards. Ah, but the nights, they were different. The nights belonged to us. During the evening, we who were young sat with the old men and listened while they told us their history, their tribal languages, and their dreams for the black person in South Africa. But most important, Mandela taught us that you can never accomplish anything as long as you hate your enemy. Hate his politics. Hate the evil behind those politics. Hate the policies that put you in prison, but never hate the person. It takes away your strength, Mandela said. So MacDonald asked this young man, so you stopped hating? He said, not right away. It took me almost 5 years to forgive. 5 years of learning with the old men and Mandela. But I did forgive. I was a different person. I knew I had forgiven when I could go to Holy Communion on Friday and invite the guard to lay his gun down and come and receive the sacrament with me. So that's the answer to your question. That's where I got my training. Wow. Hate the politics, but not the person. That God has called you as a child of God to love even your enemies. Now that takes us to the second mountain of politics. And the second mountain of politics is this, that God's people should trust in him over the king. That we need to trust God before we trust the king. We need to trust God before we trust the president. In your notes, look what it says. Many people will seek favor with those in political office, hoping to find justice. Proverbs 29, verse 26. And some even seeking the favor of the king want to find some special favor that the king would give them. However, only God can exact justice that is right and fair. Proverbs 29 and verse 26. Only he can measure out true blessings. And so some people are looking for the king to come and promote justice. Some people are looking for the king to come and to promote something that's going to make their life better. Some people are looking for a king that's going to come and promote their cause. There's no perfect king. All kings are imperfect. And my brothers and sisters, that we need to realize on that first mountain that God, the king, is in God's hand, his king's heart. And the second thing we need to realize is that we need to trust God and not our politicians. Now, I'm not saying I'm not saying don't trust the politicians. What I'm saying is, you know, our ultimate trust has to be in God. That if we're looking for some person in office to come and change something and make it better for everybody, ain't happening. Ain't happening. My faith and my trust is in God. When you look back to the Jews in Germany and how millions were slaughtered, they were slaughtered by the government. I'm telling the truth now. I'm telling the truth now. If you look at blacks who were falsely accused in this country during slavery, who was at the head of it? It was the government. When you look at Christians that are being killed around the world for their faith, where is most of the persecution coming from? It's coming from the government. We see innocent people in our own country going to jail for crimes they never committed, never committed. And now with DNA and all these things coming out 40, 50 years later, these guys are getting off showing that they never committed a crime. My brothers and sisters, you can't trust in the government over God because the government is imperfect. The government will make a mistake. And so our ultimate trust has to be in God. And if we don't trust him, if we're looking for some savior, if we're looking for some Messiah to come,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How Should I View Political Candidates? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How Should I View Political Candidates, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How Should I View Political Candidates. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How Should I View Political Candidates? or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.